RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
And by Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter. Let Camp Cabela's help get you ready for your next great camping adventure at cabelas.com.
And by Campers Inn. To find your family's next RV, visit campersinn.com. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are hashing out our recent road trip and dishing on the highs, the lows, the successes, and the lessons learned.
How did the new F-150 perform? How did we manage our tiny terror of a toddler? Were we happy with our balance of public and private campgrounds? Did we manage to drive hundreds of miles with three kids and still retain our sanity?
You might think that we have this road tripping gig all figured out, but we know that there are always lessons to be learned from family travel. You are listening to episode number 99, Summer Road Trip Wrap-Up.
Before we head into this week's RVFTA News Roundup, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Progressive Insurance.
When you sign up for an RV policy, you can also sign up for total loss replacement, optional protection that replaces your new RV with a current model if it's declared a total loss in the first 2 years. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today.
If we have a total loss, I want a new one.
Yeah.
I don't want my insurance company being like, here's an old one.
I know you're going to push for this if we have have a new RV. You're going to be like, I need total loss replacement.
We're also going to be hanging with our friends from Progressive and the Progressive RV on Flo's road trip at the New Jersey Balloon Festival, which is today, tomorrow, and Sunday. So we will be there tonight, Friday, from 5 to 8. We will be there Saturday from 1 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5. So you can come hang out. We'll sign books. We'll talk RVing. We'll walk you through all the activations, as they're called, where you can win free Progressive swag.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this on the very day it's released, this podcast episode is being released on July 29th. That's what Jeremy meant by today, the first day of the podcast. If you're listening to this in the future, I'm sorry you missed us. You can catch us at the next Progressive gig.
Most people do listen in the first 3 days.
They do. They actually do. Our numbers show that. So if you weren't planning on stopping by, there is a coupon over on our Facebook page. So go over to the Facebook page. I posted the coupon.
Third Eye Blind is playing Friday night, and we're going to go.
Yeah.
So if you want to feel safe in the mosh pit, I'll protect you.
Oh my gosh, you're too old to mosh. Give me a break.
It would be bad. As long as no one's looking.
Oh, there's people looking, and they'll be laughing.
Will there be an over 35 section
yeah,
for the mosh pit?
Yeah, nice. They should do that, like mosh pit light. Like
mosh
for the,
light,
yeah,
like a light beer.
Yeah, senior moshing.
Not a senior. So they also really have some great activations, they call them. And like one of them, aren't you going to be able to like do a little video where you like take off in a balloon or something crazy like that and
yeah,
share it to your social media?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's like an inside scoop where like we might be like sharing like insider information. I don't know. But some of our listeners might remember from last year at the Hershey show, there was like a green screen where you could take pictures with Flo in different parts of the country, and it was really fun. So, you know, we would like our listeners would stop by, we'd like get pictures with us and Flo and them and everything. Well, I guess they stepped it up a notch this year, and it's a video, like it's a simulation, and you're going to be like taking off in a hot air balloon. I'm excited.
They never settle over there on Flo's road trip. It's always got to be bigger, it's always got to be better. So, we would love to say hello if you're going to the Balloon Fest, or if you're just looking for something to do this weekend. The Balloon Festival is a hootenanny,
right? And the balloons, like, they take off in the morning and then they take off again and at the sunset hour in the evening, and there's music in the evening. So what we did was we scheduled our times sort of at those like somewhat down times where you might be looking for something to do and you want to come by and see us.
Yeah, and they give away a Floha bobblehead dolls, t-shirts. There's good swag.
Mm-hmm.
If it's free, it's for me.
Yeah, so come see us there. And then Also, this is another really exciting bit of news.
This is really big news. And what I would recommend to all of our listeners is that you write this information down or take out your cell phone and actually put the time into your calendar. So you get a little alert. If you're driving, pull over. Pull over, but you should really, seriously, we want everyone involved in this. This is really cool. We've never done anything like this before. Stephanie, break it down.
Okay, so we have actually partnered with Go RVing. Go RVing is hosting a 1 hour live chat over on their Facebook page, and we are hosting it. How fun is that, right?
Yeah, that's going to be great. It's going to be all about planning trips and planning road trips, and you'll get to ask questions and we'll interact, and it really should be fun. It should be like live radio to some degree.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be the two of us. We have our topics to discuss, but then we'll also be able to give feedback based on what people's questions are, what you want to know about. So if you've ever kind of wanted to interrupt us when you're listening to our podcast to say, but wait, what do you mean by this? This is actually the perfect time to do it. And we were kind of like doing a little bit of a dry run today, like practicing the format and everything, because we've never done a live Facebook video before. And it was cool.
They have this set up pretty nicely. Mm-hmm. So we can see your comments coming in on the screen and we can interact with you. And look, I mean, we can, Stephanie, I could sit there and talk the whole hour.
We
do that every week, but we really want to be interactive. Acting with our audience and with Go RVing's audience, and there's going to be great prizes given out throughout the hour.
True.
Some Go RVing swag and some copies of our book, The Surprise! Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
Yes, so that'll be really fun. So that is next Tuesday, August 7th. Now, here's the tricky part. It's at 3:30 p.m. Central Time. Now, we know we have listeners in every time zone, okay? So you've got to like convert that and figure out when it is for you. So 3:30 p.m. Central Time, that's
4:30 Eastern.
It's 4:30 Eastern Time, right? If you're over there on the Pacific Coast, it's going to be 1:30 p.m.
Just do the math.
Yeah, so you need to know it's 3:30 Central Time, okay? So make the conversion
and
accordingly.
If you're watching from work, we won't tell your boss.
No, yeah, put in headphones.
Put on headphones, act like you're busy, act really serious, and just type away. Just launch some questions at us. Yeah. We're not going to let your boss know you're watching our Facebook
Live chat. Yeah, pound on the keyboard and look really serious. That works. I think that works. Yeah. I mean, yeah, get that furrowed brow.
You deserve
look.
A break. It's late in the day. You've been slaving away for those people.
So, yeah, so we can't guarantee, you know, that we're going to do this flawlessly. So you might just want to tune in for the bloopers.
Oh, no, there'll be some ridiculous stuff.
And we can't edit it out. So.
As long as we don't have a big argument on there.
Yeah, no, we will not.
My road trip tip is better than yours.
Yeah, hush up, son. I got something better to say. All right, so that's definitely
And it's an experiment. It's an experiment. So if it goes well, hopefully we'll get to do it again. And so we really encourage you to come and check that out on Go RVing's Facebook page.
All right, so as you know, this week is all about sort of wrapping up the first big road trip that we did this summer. Like many summers in the past, we sort of have bookended our summer with two big trips with some other stuff in the middle, like home time and
laundry,
balloon festival,
grandma,
and Facebook Live chats.
The lawn looks great. Have you noticed?
Yeah. We cleaned up nice around
here. I did. Fresh mulch in the front yard. I drove by the front yard today. I was like, hey, my house looks nice.
So we did our first big road trip. We're getting ready to head out on our second big road trip. So this episode, we really wanted to sort of take a deep breath and talk about, you know, some of our reflections from our time on the road and the sorts of things that we think of as we're going through the trip that we don't necessarily get to share with you on social media or in the podcast. So before we do that, before we go into the podcast, we've got some road trip stats that we compiled.
I'm going to start and then I'm going to point to you, Stephanie.
Oh.
And when I point to you, you'll finish.
That's bossy.
Does that sound like the plan? I didn't mean to be bossy about it. It's just like it's long and I didn't think I'd want to read the whole thing.
All right.
23 nights, 5 states, 6 campgrounds and a Cabela's parking lot, 1 deep cycle battery toasted, 1 new F-150 tested, 23 television interviews in 4 hours, 9 podcasts produced and uploaded from the road, 14 lobster rolls devoured.
Oh, my turn. 19 whales spotted, 7 bags of coffees purchased, 1 national park visited, 1 national seashore visited, 1 national historic site visited, 3 toddler meltdowns per day, and 12 hikes.
And that was an average on the toddler meltdowns. There were days when he had four and then two the next day. But yeah. It averaged out to about three a day.
Yeah, we used math on that.
Didn't ruin my trip.
All right. So it was a fairly good sized trip. And so we walked away with a lot of kind of thoughts and lessons and highs and lows. So we're going to have two segments. We split it up into two different parts, the road and the destination. Okay. So definitely we have a lot of thoughts from the road, the actual road tripping part of family travel. And then we're going to move into talking about sort of that campground time, those activities that we do, and some of our thoughts about that and how that's changed for us over the years. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for this week's featured topic, summer road trip wrap-up. And we are going to break this into two parts and two segments. The first part's going to be all about the road, and the second part's all going to be about the campground or the destination. And really, when you go on a long trip like this, and I think a lot of our listeners can relate, you kind of come back with some deep thoughts about the whole, you know, family travel thing. At least we do.
Yeah, I mean, through the whole thing, we're saying, you know that you do this with whoever you're traveling with your partner, your kids, whoever. You're saying, like, oh, did you notice that, you know, so-and-so is doing this more, isn't doing this? And so all that we do, because we're podcasters and writers, is we tend to take notes on those things. And we actually did that on this trip a lot. We, you know, as we'd be driving, we'd be like jotting down some thoughts that we had, because if you don't write them down, you really do forget them, unless they're like big epiphanies. And sometimes, you know, life is not full of big epiphanies. It's kind of full of small noticings.
You know, but though a lot of small epiphanies kind of add up to one big epiphany in a sense. So Hopefully this episode is like one big epiphany.
All right.
So let's talk about our truck. So we actually hitched up our RV, our Jayco Whitehawk, to our brand new Ford F-150 for the first time for this big trip. Now, that's not necessarily ideal, right? To hitch up, to use a new truck on a 3-week trip. You'd probably want to take it on a weekend close to home first. Didn't work that way for us, right? Because you're supposed to put 1,000 miles on a brand new truck to break it in. And look, we couldn't take it on any of the trips before the big one. And we only got to like 850 miles. So this was a big experiment with the truck. And I think we were both pretty thrilled with the truck's performance. So we wanted to get into that a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to kick it off, or you want me to?
Yeah, there's just a lot of different things I like to say about the truck. And when we first announced, oh, we got a new truck, there was a lot of interest from our listeners, because I think a lot of people are interested in the new F-150s, first of all, in terms of purchasing a truck. And people who are into RVs are really into trucks. So the first thing is I got that 36-gallon extended range tank, and I absolutely love the fact that I have that feature. It was like less than $500 to get that on the truck, but a lot of them don't come equipped with it. If you can get that, a new F-150 equipped with that, I push you to get it.
It actually changed our entire road trip dynamic. I had actually been getting a little frustrated, because it almost seemed that instead of being able to go for longer distances, like we were like going
stopping
for,
more and
yeah,
more.
Yeah. I was like, we are losing so much time, because what would happen is we've gotten into a couple of like pinches, and the truck, you know, our older Silverado, it had a smaller tank. So we'd like start looking at a half a tank. But then like all of a sudden, if you start looking at a half a tank and then that's there, like a good one arises, well, then you fill up at a half a tank. Well, now not only have you not used an entire tank of gas, but you just stopped again 2 hours later.
Also, you don't know exactly how many miles you can go still on the Silver, on like the Silverado. The Ford also tells us exactly how many miles we have left. Now, somebody, some gearhead out there would be like, oh, I can figure it out based on my MPG. But anyway, the Ford, we drove from Boston to Bar Harbor, Maine, on one tank of gas.
Right. So we could easily do 6 hours of towing without stopping for gas. And we could do more, but I'm saying, like, we don't generally drive longer.
Changer.
So we left
Normandy Farms.
Right, at 4 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, because we wanted to get ahead of the 4th of July traffic. We happened to be traveling on the Friday before 4th of July weekend, and that was just the way the cookie crumbled. We couldn't do anything about it. But obviously, we tried to make a smart decision about that, and we said we're not going to get stuck in bad vacation traffic. So we left at 3:30 in the morning. We were in Maine at 9 o'clock in the morning, 8:30, 9 in the morning, and we hadn't stopped.
We hadn't stopped for gas. And we pushed it right to the edge. I mean, it said that we had like 10 miles left to drive.
No, that's an exaggeration.
No, it's
it was
not.
More like 60, I think, that we had left.
No, to it was closer
I would have been
than that.
Sweating.
Yeah, but no, but we were passing gas stations left, right, and yeah. sideways at that point because we were going through Ellsworth and whatnot.
Yeah.
But that's pretty amazing not to have to stop for gas. We were getting 11 to 12 miles per gallon throughout the trip. Every time I checked, it was more towards 11 miles per gallon, but sometimes it got a little bit higher. And that's the 5.0 liter V8 engine towing our 6,000 pound camper. Our camper is 6,000 pounds dry with all our stuff in it. It's a lot more, but I was very happy with that. You know, MPJ as well.
Yeah, and you know, I also want to say that you were just like quoting some of the stats, you know, for the truck. And so when we bought this truck, we definitely, because this is, like, we bought this thinking this is going to be our tow vehicle for a very long time. And in doing that, we did limit our tow capacity because this is a half ton. We're not going to be able to tow some of the bigger, fancier RVs out there. We knew that. And we did that on purpose because, quite frankly, we want to limit our tow capacity. We don't want to slip into a category that we're not comfortable in.
Yeah. I mean, I had a friend say, well, why didn't you get the EcoBoost? And a lot of people are hot on the EcoBoost engine. And there's just a lot of debate out there if you start looking in forums about which one is better. At the end of the day, you know, the EcoBoost, the biggest of the EcoBoosts, does tow more. I had some concerns a little bit about that. There's the fear that they'll be much more expensive to work on as the life of the truck goes on because there's turbos in the engine as opposed to a simpler V8 engine. And also those turbos are not under warranty after a certain point too. I forget what the exact detail was on that. So a lot of the gearheads are out there saying, well, this is going to be an expensive engine to deal with if you plan on keeping the truck for 10 years. So that scared me off a little. And also, you know, my truck will tow 9,100 pounds. You can get an EcoBoost with max tow package. I think it goes up to about 12,000 pounds. But there are no campers that we really want that would need that tow power. And even if there's ones we like, they wouldn't fit in our driveway anyway. So basically, this V8 towing 9,100 pounds will tow anything that we want to buy. Now, I know a lot of people out there still have a question, though. So how did the V8 perform on maybe some steep grades? So, you know, we weren't driving in the Rocky Mountains, but we actually did end up on some steep grades here and there. I think the truck performed admirably. Light years away from my 2008 Silverado, I was definitely able to comfortably go up some steeper hills, 30, 40 miles per hour. And then the other really major thing about the truck's performance that kind of blew me away compared to my 2008 Silverado was I could very comfortably keep speed at 65, 70 miles an hour, and the engine was purring. You know, where with the 2008 Silverado, if I was driving 70 miles an hour, it felt like the truck was going to, like, explode.
Yeah, the RPMs were high. In that case, it was really, like, working hard for that. Now, speaking of that and how the truck felt like it was working, I did want to mention something at the beginning that we were a little bit concerned with and not used to. So in the tow haul mode, what it does is that it actually, when you hit the brake, it does a shift down for you.
Fairly aggressively too.
Yeah. So what happens is when you tap the brake, the RPMs, they really rev up.
A little bit more than a tap, but when you're okay. A little bit more seriously pressing down the brake, yeah, the engine starts to
rev, right?
Yeah.
So what it's doing is it's like doing it. So at first we're like, whoa, what's that sound? And then it clicked to me as I was like digging around online. I was like, oh, I learned how to drive on shift cars, on manual transmission cars. So anybody that learned how to drive on a manual transmission knows that you're supposed to sort of brake by using your downshifting as opposed to popping it into neutral and laying on the brake, right? Like, it was so funny. I hadn't driven, you know, a stick in so long that like all that stuff had kind of left. Like, the proper way to brake is to use your downshift to brake. Because
you're actually braking less, right?
Yeah. You're going easier on your brakes. You're letting the transmission do the work. So it was so funny because all that came flooding back to me. And I go, oh my gosh, Jeremy, the truck's doing it like it's supposed to do it instead of letting you
Silverado
do it.
My Silverado did not have that feature. And then after getting used to it, I felt much more in control of the vehicle, actually. And I have a friend who owns a Ford with that feature, and he says that he doesn't always use it. So if he's going on steep hills, he'll turn that off and he'll just downshift on his own because he says it's so aggressive. But I'm just going to let the truck do that for me. I felt pretty comfortable.
Yeah, because I was watching where it was going in the RPMs, and it was staying in a good range, you know, in between that 3 to 4 range as it was downshifting. So I was like, it's not doing anything wrong. So, but it just isn't what we're used to hearing from an automatic transmission. Yeah. So it was a little bit weird and hard for us to get used to.
Yeah, and then the truck was comfortable. The back seat is spacious for the boys. To me, it drives like a Cadillac. I'm in love with the truck. Go get whatever engine you want. I mean, there's pros and cons to each, but yeah. I really think that Ford has hit a grand slam with the new F-150.
To talk about the comfort level, I could not believe, once you went away for work, so I actually had to drive the truck for like 2 weeks straight because we had to get the mileage up. And when I started driving, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so nice to drive. So in the Chevy, in the Silverado, I kind of had that typical like small girl in a truck feel.
You didn't like driving it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. It was fine. And I've been driving it, you know? So it's perfectly fine for me. But the thing is that the seat is low and you have that feeling of like kind of like looking like granny over the steering wheel. Like there's definitely that aspect to it. So much so that like I have to adjust the steering wheel if I want to see like some of the dashboard when I'm driving, because that middle part of the wheel will block some of the dashboard for me. In the Ford, everything is just elevated. Like I can see everything. I'm up. I'm as comfortable as I am in a smaller car. I'm really surprised at how comfortable I am.
You love driving the truck. And just to be clear with everybody, we're not comparing, you know, a 2008 Silverado to a 2017 F-150. That would be ridiculous and not fair. We're not comparing a new F-150 to a new Chevy. The new Chevys are probably awesome too. You know, I came close to getting one of those.
No, this is about our experience.
Our experience.
What do you call it? Auto driver today.
Yeah. Car and driver.
Like, this is not one of those reviews, right? So, also, the space in the back seat is enormous. We mentioned that already. It was so much more comfortable to have our stuff in a cab. And anybody that knows what it's like to travel with 3 kids in a pickup truck knows it can be tight. It did not feel tight at all.
Okay. Yeah. So we love the truck in summary.
All right. Well, no, because I wanted to mention a couple of other things that I was really blown away by. The first is that I ended up loving the rails, the step-up rails on the side, which we've never had before.
Right.
So we have those rails that you can step on to get into the car.
Chrome, baby.
I can't believe how much more comfortable it makes it getting in and out of the car with bags of groceries, whatever it is. So I kind of thought that always seemed like one of those little blingy features. Like, come on, please, I can get up into a truck. I end up really liking that comfort feature. And also they have those little pop-out steps for the side of the bed. Okay. So on the side, like where your wheel well is, there's these little pop-out step. So I could put one step on and get up to get at something that's deep in the truck. Whereas in the Chevy, I used to have to climb into the back.
Yeah. And it allows you easy access to the back of the pickup truck bed, which is always the hard part to get to. You know, you don't need that up at the front because you can just, you know, open the tailgate.
I feel like it's the opposite. It's the front, right? Isn't the front of the bed like by the passenger?
Are you going to make me look bad?
Well, just saying, like, that's what I want people to understand. Like, I would always have trouble getting to the front of the bed, not the back. The back's easy. It's by the tailgate. We can work this out later. Never mind. I love you, honey. All right, let's go. All right. So those are the things that I ended up loving about the truck and the features that I kind of ended up like really falling for, even though I roll my eyes and say, I don't care what kind of car we have. So they got me. They had me at home.
All right, so what else about the road and the road trip? What other epiphanies did we have?
Okay, so people are always asking for easy, you know, tips and everything. And we've recommended, on a recent podcast, we recommended the Melissa and Doug license plate game. Well, I am not going to sit here and tell you that our kids played with that every minute that they were in the car. But I could not believe the level to which this very simple game increased their engagement and awareness of geography while we were in the car. So our two oldest boys are 7, and at the very beginning of the road trip, they started playing with that. And they were saying, like, what's that state and where is it? And then they started noticing, oh, we keep seeing that license plate. And I'm like, guys, guess what? When you're in a state, you're going to see that. And they're like, oh. And they started just like putting together patterns of travel. Now, that was my experience. And I was just like, this is so cool. They're just learning state names with this more. And even apart from the game. So they stopped like even looking at the board.
Well, they're still doing it. Yeah. You know, a month later, they're still noticing license plates. Now, is that product in our Amazon store through our website?
Yeah,
if not, it should
is.
Be because it's so well made, too.
Now, I want to say that we met up with friends on our last stop of the trip, and it was so funny because she said that they had gotten the license plate game for their recent trip. And I did not bring this up. She started telling me the same exact thing that I had experienced, that her girls just had barely used their devices on the trip. They were looking out the window and she was just like, they were just asking questions and where's that state and what kind of license plate is that? And it really is. We talked about that on that podcast about road trip tips. We talked about getting kids to look out the window. And here she had the same experience that we did. It gave them a reason to look out
the
window.
And the coolest thing about the game is even when the game wasn't out, it still was affecting the way they were looking at the cars around them and what state we're in. And just today they were saying, I took them on a long drive today. And Max said, Dad, are we in Pennsylvania? And I was like, no. But, you know, he was kind of associating a long drive with getting out of New Jersey going to Pennsylvania.
But even them knowing now that Pennsylvania is sort of a
neighbor
near
state.
Yeah. But far drive, you know. So it was just an interesting. I really enjoyed seeing that. So I still highly recommend that for that reason. Now, another thing that I highly recommend, and this is a tip that you may or may not know, audiobooks. So I have always thought, oh, audiobooks are such a nice way to engage kids in the car if they're of a certain age. And our boys love being read to. So if they love being read to us, why not by somebody else? Well, there's a couple of reasons why we haven't used audiobooks in the past. The first is cost. Right? I mean, like audiobooks are expensive.
Right.
And once you listen to them, you're done with them. And they're even expensive in iTunes. Like I find that cost prohibitive to listen to the book, you know? Now at the library in the past, I always thought, well, and I don't want to take them out on a CD in the library because they're like a 7-day borrowing. So we wouldn't be able to bring them back in time to renew them. So I had sort of like checked them off my list. So anyway, I thought on this trip, I go, you know what, let me see if the library has the Harry Potters. They love Harry Potter. They'll listen to that story. I go online and I realized our library has online audiobooks that you can check out. They go right to your device and there's an app. It's called Overdrive. And there are thousands of libraries across the country that use this app. And you can like put a hold on books and you'll get it when it comes available. You just get an email. It says, this book is available. We listen to Magic Treehouse books, Junie B. Jones books, and yes, Harry Potter. And when those books were on, the boys were silent.
More engaged than when watching a movie in the car, because a movie does all the imaginative work for them to some degree, does a lot more of the imaginative work. When the audiobook was on, they were really deeply focused because I think they were, you know, they had to create the imagery in their own imaginations. So it really made for some peaceful driving, you know, on our end.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. It was so amazingly successful. So I really encourage
And then Wesley
you.
Would often fall asleep yeah. well, during so, that time.
That was the nice part is that if we put on a movie when Wesley was overtired and getting everybody cranky and everything, he didn't fall asleep. He'd like stare at the movie overtired. But if we put on an audiobook, he would drift off and take his nap and his brothers would sit there silently listening to Harry Potter for 2 hours.
Yeah, very focused.
I was so blown away. So look and see if your library supports overdrive. It's overdrive. It's a free app, and you just do it all through your library webpage. So okay. Really cool.
You also discovered some family-friendly podcasts that are safe to listen to in the car with kids, and that's another option. Some of the podcasts that you and I really like have cursing in them.
Yeah, or just inappropriate, or like topics that the boys would be like, they're just going to be asking 100 questions. Yeah. I don't understand. Like, just things that are developmentally, like, totally inappropriate for them. Because we love, you know, like, everybody, we love all the podcasts that are like, Serial, you know, Startup.
Yeah, that might ruin the kids' vacation.
They can't. That's not going to work. So a thread on our forum was like, oh, well, what kind of family-friendly podcasts are there? And it's tricky to find them. Some people recommend it, and I encourage you to go over and check out that thread. I'll link to it. But one that I thought of that I hadn't previously that could be family-friendly if you have young kids is I listened to this podcast called Awesome Etiquette. All right. And it's actually hosted by Lizzie Post and Daniel Post Senning. And they're from the Emily Post Institute. So they're actually, I think they're like the grandchildren of Emily Post, like their cousins, and they host this podcast. So it's pretty cool. And I thought that's a really family friendly podcast.
And if they had questions, it could lead to interesting, you know, conversations about manners and behavior that I think we should be having with our 7-year-olds.
Right. And older kids too, because you can scroll through their list because people write in questions and then they answer it. So you could scroll through that list of podcast episodes and find topics that would be relevant and interesting to your kids. Like, and it's, you know, everything from email to table manners to how do you break up with a friend, basically. You know, I mean, really. So I was like, I would love to listen to etiquette podcasts with the boys.
I think that's great. Yeah. And we also rediscovered SiriusXM satellite radio because we're in a new truck. So we have our 4 months or 6 months.
I forgot how awesome it was.
Oh my gosh. We canceled SiriusXM a year ago or 2 years ago in a fit of, you know, cost savings. You know, we wanted to save some money. So we dumped it. And it is just so superior to terrestrial radio. And we just had a blast, you know, finding our favorite stations. And everyone in the family kind of like discovered their favorite station and would push for different stations. So Max fell in love with the Elvis channel. And Max is like an Elvis freak right now and cannot get enough of Elvis Presley. I happen to love the Elvis channel. Stephanie, it drives you crazy.
Because they do things that aren't like, they do these long.
That's not why you don't like it. Even if they play Elvis for an hour straight, you're just like, all right, enough. Or you just don't want to hear one artist over and over again. But I can rock out to Elvis. And it's like, it's funny because it kind of fits like Max's personality because
totally.
He's like totally Mr. Cool right now.
Yes.
So now Theo, on the other hand.
He liked First Wave.
First Wave, which is like the Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah,
and like Duran Duran and like Flock of Seagulls. And he always would request his First Wave. And that's just, you know, Theo's a little more like theatrical. And yeah. Theo's like a little bit more artistic. And you know, and so that kind of.
Like he has that
punky
little punk
in a sense. You know, so it fit him. And then Mommy's channel was.
So I really like The Pulse. And it's kind
and
of.
And I made fun of you.
You did.
And I ended up
poppy.
Loving The Pulse.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Train, a lot of like Adele.
So the reason why I really like The Pulse, and this is what I said to you, because like I said, I was driving the car around while you were away for 2 weeks. The reason why I like The Pulse is because to me, it's good pop music that's out there right now. But then also, it's really kid friendly. So when I'm driving, like, I love the emergence of my kids being able to sing songs along with me on the radio.
So much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun to all the whole family singing out, like blasting out, singing out together.
So The Pulse kind of repeats music a little bit.
Oh yeah, a lot.
All
these channels do, which makes it fun to rotate through everybody's favorites.
Right. But the thing is that because it repeats, the boys also learn the songs. And we had these like songs that I feel like they're going to remember. Always.
Right.
And then there was a song that got in
I got
everybody's
guns in my yeah. head and I won't go.
So that got
Spirits
in everybody's
in my
head.
And, I won't go.
And that was the first time the boys were like, did I get that stuck in
and
your head?
And the gun's still around. And they get it's comical too because they inevitably get the words wrong, probably like I just was. And they come up with sort of like their own words and their own versions
yeah.
of it. So we had
it was
a hoot.
Oh,
and
though.
Dad's channel, Outlaw Country.
Well, we can't listen to
got
that.
Got outlawed.
Though. Well,
yeah, they curse a lot. They do.
Really
Mojo
inappropriate.
Nixon. Mojo Nixon curses
really
a lot.
Inappropriate things.
So that kind of got nixed on our road trip. But
yeah.
Look, if you travel a lot in an RV and you're on the road a lot, it's just nothing beats SiriusXM. I'm not getting rid of it this time. So when they start sending the bill in 6 months, sorry, hon. We're paying for it.
I'm telling you, I could not believe Like, well, I was like, how were
and
we?
And we don't have time to make our mixes anymore. You and I used to make great road trip mixes. We're just too busy now. So no. Having SiriusXM has been terrific.
It was so much fun. Now, I wanted to wrap up this segment by sharing an email that I actually got quite a few weeks ago from a listener. She is now a listener. I met her at Camp Like a Girl in West Virginia. Lynn Butler is actually the owner of an RV dealership. She was on Girl Camper
Podcast. Smart lady.
I enjoyed meeting her so much in West Virginia. Well, she sent me this email. I wanted to talk to you about the Counting Cows family games. Do you know how it's played? My brother, sister, and I remember fondly counting cows on our family camping vacations. You count the cows on your side of the road. If you pass a red barn, you double your cows. White cow, you triple your cows. But a cemetery means you bury your cows. First one to 500 wins. Much more fun than license plates. She said, of course, back then we were not on interstates and this was much more possible. I never pass a field of cows without thinking about this game that no one I ever have found has played. How cool is that?
It's a blast. And it lets you know you can make your own family game up, too. And I think like that cemetery and subtracting the cows,
yes.
Like that suddenly, like all of a sudden you lose everything at once. Add some
yes.
drama to the game.
I'm going to put those rules in the show notes to this episode because I just love the idea of this old, like sort of family game sort of that she's passing along to us. And I also like the fact that it's like if you're on one side of the car, you're competing against the other.
And how much
side
does it cost you? A lot less than an iPod.
Yeah, exactly. So I like this idea, but then I also think it could inspire you to make up your own sorts of things like that with anything. It doesn't have to be cows. So I'll put them in the show notes. So thank you, Lynn, for sending that in.
And our last little note, we did not drive with the propane on.
We did not.
And we had no problems at all keeping the food cold.
Yeah, so kudos to us. We're being safer drivers, and we encourage you always to be kind of like moving in that direction. How can we be a little bit safer on the road, right?
Absolutely. And again, it's like that personal decision. I'm not so sure that it's completely unsafe driving with it on, but we've just made that decision to go ultra safe on the propane.
So those were all of our sort of road trip, you know, wrap up things, issues, topics, notes from our time on the road. Now we are going to be back in a minute and we are going to be talking about our time at our destinations and some sort of takeaway lessons that we learned from there. Stay tuned. Choosing the right RV dealership is as important as choosing the right RV.
Campers Inn has thousands of RVs to choose from and has been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years.
In 1966, Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons Bob, David, and Jeff, invested their family's life savings to buy four folding tent trailers, selling them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts.
Their dream was to build a hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life.
50 years and three generations later, Campers Inn RV is the nation's largest family-operated dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast.
Their professional staff and certified trained service personnel are driven by the commitment to treat each customer fairly and with respect.
Find your family's next RV at campersinn.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for part two of our feature topic, summer road trip wrap up. So we just talked about all our sort of travel epiphanies from the road. And now we want to move to the actual destination, the campground. We were 3 weeks camping. And these are just some of the things that we thought about that made an impression on us during that time. So Stephanie, why don't you get started by talking about why packing makes such a big difference in enjoying a destination?
Well, I was lucky that we had a lot of experience with heading up north for an extended RV trip. So I actually said to you, I packed myself and I pack all the kids and you pack your own clothes. And the night before I'd been like, I think you were packing. I was like, remember, layers, like long shirts, long pants. And you were like, oh, yeah. But on this trip, you know, one of the rules that I abide by is I really do pack, not tons of clothes for every type of weather, but I really do pack clothes for every type of weather that we may encounter.
Yeah. And I look, I always bring lots of sweatshirts and raincoats and all that stuff. I only brought one pair of pants to Maine. And that
and
was,
I warned you.
Yeah, it was like a mistake. You know, I mean, if you're traveling to New England, you know, you need to be prepared for chilly weather sometimes during the day, but definitely at night. And then we often hear from people even going out west to places like Yellowstone and Mount Rushmore, like it gets cold. So you need to pay close attention to how cold those temperatures are going to get at night. And you got to bring those clothes with you.
Yeah. We never leave for any vacation anymore without rain gear, you know.
We leave our rain gear in the RV.
Yeah, it's just, it's there. It needs to be there. So the boys each had two pairs of warm, comfy pants. Then they also had shorts and t-shirts. Then they had long-sleeved shirts, and they had sweatshirts. So they were really suited up for any type of weather that we encountered. And we encountered weather from, I would say, 50 degrees to 90 degrees.
Yeah, it definitely dropped into the low 50s. I mean, at night, it might have dropped into the upper 40s. I mean, yeah. We've totally been in Vermont at night around a campfire and saw that it was like 45 degrees. So New England can take you by surprise, and wherever you're going might be, you know, take you by surprise if you're going into the mountains or whatever. So you have an RV, use it to pack appropriate amounts of clothing and layers.
Yeah, don't waste vacation time headed to the Walmart to get
to buy something you don't
buy.
Want.
Yeah. Yeah, don't do it. Like, just pack for those inclement weathers, you know, or variations in temperature. Sure, it makes all the difference, right?
Now, the next thing, we went to 6 or 7 campgrounds on this trip. It was 6, right? Mm-hmm. And we went to such a variety of campgrounds. We did these ultra resorts, these terrific Jellystones, Normandy Farms. We also did some really simple, straightforward, almost bare bones campgrounds like Atlantic Oaks and Scudic Woods. And I really fell in love with bouncing back and forth between the two. So I loved going to Scudic Woods Campground, where it was just quiet and simple and peaceful, not a lot going on, no pools, no playground. And then going to a Jellystone after. And it was like, oh yeah, it's awesome to go swimming in a heated pool and to sit in a hot tub. So for me, for my travel style, and everyone out there can have a different travel style. If you want to do all state parks, that's fine. If you want to do all resorts, that's fine. I really love experiencing both on the same trip.
Yeah, but I would also say that I think it can lead to a little bit of the sort of RV version of jet lag, where it takes a little while to adjust on either end. So when we were at a simpler campground, and then we moved over to a more resorty campground, so we went from Atlantic Oaks to Normandy Farms. For me, the kids, I get a little bit of shell shock at first, because I'm like, oh, busy, you know, lots of people. And then I feel like the kids like kick into hyperactivity mode. Let's do this. Like, they do everything for 10 minutes.
They're making up for lost time, man. You know, there were no planned activities over at that campground. So we want to get in everything. That can, you know, there can be a little burnout.
There's like this ping-pongy kind of effect that like gets me a little stressed out. Now, on the other end, when you go from then the resort, like we went from Normandy Farms and then we headed up to the Bar Harbor KOA. Well, the Bar Harbor KOA is really, even though it is an expensive campground, it's expensive, like we said, on Campground of the Week because of its location and its waterfront views, not because necessarily its resort amenities. So again, it took a little while for the kids to be like, oh, we're going to play in the tide pools all day. Like they did, but there's this adjustment time where they're like, where's all the fun stuff? You know? So that
once they did, they were there hours a day, you know?
Yeah. I think the nice thing was about going from Bar Harbor to Scudic was really great because Bar Harbor KOA was not a great bike riding campground. And when we showed up in Scudic, you know,
perfect.
And there was those paved roads. There was none of that shift because they could have ridden on those paved roads all day long.
Absolutely. Okay. So what is up next here? There's just, you know, kind of on the same note, I am just perpetually impressed with the variety of camping options that are available, particularly where we're from in the Northeast. There's just a little bit of everything. And we know it's not like that in sections in the West, but it is like that here. So I love the fact that there is variety. We can all choose our own camping style.
All right. Now, something that was a bit of a focus for us on this trip was really trying to, you know, get a handle on what the chores were going to be for the boys, because especially with how much we travel, you know, it's been an ongoing sort of shift for us to move from that constant vacation mode to more of just traveling mode, right? Where we're like living life in the RV, not just on vacation, having fun every single minute of the day, because that can burn out, you know, a little bit early.
Yeah, I mean, when it's 3 weeks on the road, it can't be ice cream every night. It can't be activities every 3 hours. Absolutely. So, and we did work harder to get them, you know, doing some chores during the day, helping with cleanup, doing their summer reading. We don't want the summer slide. And just because we're on, you know, on an RV trip doesn't mean you guys shouldn't be reading for an hour a day in the morning or whatever it is, right?
Yeah. So one of the things that I had tried to shift on the longer trip was laundry, because in the past it was like we would go through every single thing I packed, and then like maybe on the third stop or something I'd do a big huge long laundry, you know, debacle thing, and then everybody would have clean clothes and then it would last. I really felt like that was like an overwhelming time suck on my part. Like, it was a lot to do all the laundry in a laundry room and fold it all and then get it all back in the packing cubes and everything. So he said, on this trip, what I'd like to do is, as we're packing up on that final day, just do a load or two. And then, you know, it's done. You're packing everything up. You put all the clothes away. And when you arrive at the next destination, you're good to go again. So I thought that that would really work. And it did work really nicely. But unfortunately, it broke down about halfway through the trip. We didn't have any laundry facilities at Scudic Woods. We went through all of our, like, there was rain. So, you know, we went through a lot more clothes, and I ended up, like, for 5 hours in the laundry room.
Well, that was the killer there, is that we had damp weather at Scudic Woods Campground, and we were hiking every day. So, really, we would go out every morning and burn through a pair of clothes. The boys would need to come back and get dressed again for the next part of the day. So, they were going through, like, 3 outfits a day, for goodness sake.
Yeah, so it did. I still think that that's the answer for me, is to do laundry like you would do it at home. Like, you know, just in bits and pieces, and not make it this big.
But then you got hit with that 5-hour laundry session at Lazy River that did not make you happy.
I did not, because everybody was hanging out at the pool and I was in the 100-degree laundry room. 5 loads of laundry.
Now, on this trip, we did suffer through some toddler tantrums. And, you know, we feel like it's important to be honest about that. We don't want to just present this picture that we're out there having this amazing time and the kids are perfect. You know, Wesley is 3 years old, and he was really going through something, like, where he wanted something and he wouldn't let go of it. And also, he just wants to do everything his brothers want to do. And there just were a lot of temper tantrums. And I think, like, we dealt with it really well, but it certainly did add some stress to the trip.
Well, I don't know that we dealt with it super well early on, because I think that we were pacifying because we were in more of a public sphere.
By we, Stephanie means me.
Well, I think that...
I'll admit to it, you know?
So here's the thing that happens, and this is why we want to bring this up on the podcast for other sort of toddler parents. When you're at a camp, you know, when you're at home, you may feel more comfortable instituting boundaries and following through with meltdowns. So your 3-year-old wants to do something that's unsafe, like, you know, whatever, think of the thing, you know, and you say, no, that is not safe. And they throw themselves on the floor and they flip out, or whatever snack food they want, they're not going to get. And in our house, what we say is, if you're going to throw a temper tantrum, you're going to cry, go to your room and cry. When you're done, you can come back out. And honestly, that works fairly well with Wes. He kind of pulls himself together and he comes out.
Yeah, but when it happens at the Winter Harbor 5 and 10, it's not like, okay, Wes, if you're going to flip out, go over to the other aisle. You know, it's like there. It's public.
Hey, when you're traveling, you're in a lot more of a public sphere most of the time. And also at the campground, I think that it's hard because you don't want everybody else to suffer through your toddler's temper tantrum. So a little bit into the trip, I feel like we had to recalibrate and say, no, we need to have very specific, strict boundaries with him. And when he doesn't, you know, come along for the ride on that, he's got to go to the truck. Or if we're at the campground, he's got to go in the bunkhouse.
Yeah, if we're in this very serious public place, either mom or dad has to pick him up and walk away.
Yeah.
You know, and pick him up and just take him out of the situation. And yeah, that stinks when you're on vacation. If, like, I have to pick Wesley up and walk out of the restaurant, or you have to pick Wesley up and go take him out to the truck when we're doing something fun. But, you know, it paid dividends to do that. And sadly, it's never right away that you see the rewards. It was days, but then I think we did see some better behavior.
Because he knows. He knows he's not going to get what he wants. So then it starts to back off. But the bottom line is that this is a stage. It always is. Other parents know it. And I think that the tendency to give in when you're traveling, we have to check that at the door as parents and say, we can still hold our kids accountable for appropriate behavior even while we're traveling.
Yeah, I think that's really important.
All right.
Now, at the beginning of the trip, Stephanie and I had decided together that we were not letting the boys buy any toys from the camp stores. They're usually junk. They usually lead to fights and arguments and problems that they break very quickly. You know, I'm
junk.
Often,
I hate
yeah,
junk.
Yeah, I'm often the one who's buying them. Not a lot, but maybe once a trip, whatever. This summer we said, no camp store toys. We're just not spending money on it. You know, we're not letting you spend your allowance money on it. They get a very small, comically small allowance. And we stuck to that until about two-thirds of the way through the trip. I thought one morning I woke up, I thought, man, they've been so good.
You always I want to buy them some junk today.
No, that's not exactly what I did. And I said, you know, they haven't asked for anything. They haven't pestered about buying anything. They've just been really awesome in that department. And frankly, I wanted to go to this Winter Harbor 5 and 10. I had read about it in a travel book. And it was supposed to be this cool old-fashioned 5 and 10, had a little bit of everything. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to give them each $5 and I'm just going to let them get whatever they want, basically, at the 5 and 10. And I got to be honest with you, I thought they were going to buy candy. I really did. I thought they were just going to go in and buy a bunch of candy and then we would, you know, distribute it over the next few days and they'd have a real fun experience, whatever. Well, they went right to the junk toy aisle. I mean, the candy was not interesting at all to them. They went right to like the little cap guns. Now, at the Winter Harbor 5 and 10, right next to the Schoodick Peninsula in Maine, you can get a cap gun and caps for less than $5, believe it or not. It's a great value for junk toys. And that's what they all wanted. And so that's what they all bought. And it set off a sequence of ridiculous, stressful, comical events. So they only had two guns in the same style, and Wesley had to get a third gun that was different.
No, he wanted the potato gun.
Well, then he didn't get the one the boys had, and he got this potato gun.
Oh, brother.
That in some way you buy a potato and you use that to make potato pellets.
Whatever.
I explained to Wesley that we didn't have potatoes and he would not have ammo. He didn't care. He wanted the potato gun. But of course, when he got home and his brothers were running around pop, 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 popping their cap guns, Wesley's potato gun all of a sudden was incredibly inadequate. And he threw a complete meltdown
well,
and a complete temper tantrum about it.
To give him their
yeah.
cap guns.
So of
That's
course,
what he does. Yeah.
Dad brought him back the next day
yeah,
and got
sucka.
Him what his brothers had as close as I could get with the caps. Now, on day two of the great toy fiasco, I hate to say it, but sometimes our boys leave their toys lying around. I stepped on one of the cap guns and crushed it.
Wait, so you had bought...
Accidentally.
Another one.
Oh, yeah, this
already.
Was the fourth gun.
Yeah, so then you stepped
so
on
So then
broken.
I had to bring Theo back, because I'm just a sucker that way. And there's parents out there like, why did you do it? Well, okay, I'm sorry, I'm a soft touch sometimes. Theo was upset that I stepped on his gun and he couldn't play guns anymore. So
he
then
left it on the ground.
He did leave it on the ground, and maybe I should have just said, look, learn a lesson, kid. You leave something on the ground, your dad might step on it. But I took him back, and I bought him another cap gun. Now, the next part of the fiasco was those little, the pellet, whatever you do, those caps, they were all over the place. You know, as they would blast them out, they'd fall on the ground, and they were doing a very bad job picking them up. So then I had to go through a whole lesson on picking up the campsite, and I'm finding them in the car and on the ground everywhere. Am I missing any parts of this great toy fiasco?
I try to block them out because otherwise we would have probably had to go our separate ways in the middle of the trip.
Yeah,
because
so,
this is what I hate is when something that's supposed to be a reward turns into a problem.
And I got to tell
that's
you, you have been right about this for years. The toys,
they're never good.
Oh, they always create stress.
Always.
By breaking or just like the fact that they lose interest in them so quickly. The hot toy of the day, maybe 48 hours later, just becomes something that I'm putting in a bin somewhere.
Or that you're cleaning up, that got taken out for 1 second, and you're just picking it up off the floor.
Yeah,
this
of course
is what I've been going on for
about when you run out of
years.
Caps, you need more caps. So then they wanted to go back for caps, and it was a fiasco. It was literally a parenting mistake on my part to have that mental breakdown of like, here's $5, kid, get whatever you want. You know, I should have stuck to the no junk toys and said, hey, kids, here's a couple bucks. Go get some candy, I guess.
Or
you
get
know?
A souvenir or something.
Whatever. Go buy a magnet. Not.
I don't care. Just not anything that you're going to argue about.
And the thing is, they were being so good. Why not just let them keep being good? They weren't missing anything. You know?
It was this idea like that junk is a reward.
I'm going to be really honest with the podcast listeners. I really wanted to go to the 5 and 10.
I wasn't going
to go on my own. That just wasn't going to work into the plans. So if I was going to go to the 5 and 10 and just buy something, a book, a newspaper, whatever, well, then they've got to buy something. That's the thing as a parent, isn't it? If you want an ice cream, you can't go out and buy one and not get your kids one. If you want to go buy a cold drink, you got to buy 5 cold drinks.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, you just don't. Just don't. It's not worth it.
But you know what? It's content.
All right. There goes that.
When all this was going disastrously wrong, I was like, Stephanie, it's content.
No, you weren't. You were like, I know, because I was fuming. I was like not even speaking. I was looking like straight ahead. I just got to tell you,
for parents out there who are weak like me and allow your kids to buy junky toys in the camp store, I think we all need to group together and just stop buying those junky camp store toys because they're just really, really cheap. Tell your kids, look, if you want to spend, get a t-shirt, okay? You can pick out a magnet. Get something of some sentimental value.
All right. Now, another thing that we tried was to insert reading time. We talked about this on our spring resolutions episode. So what we realized was we had always read to our boys before bed at home. And when we try to do that at the campground, it used to work when they were little, but now it's very difficult because there are activities going on, our campfire is going on right up until bedtime. So now if we were like, now it's reading time, they'd be going to bed so late, especially in June when it's like light out still at 9. So what we realized was actually a better time to have them do their reading and sort of like quiet time like that was in the morning. And we started to make them do it. We said, do it now. Like, have your reading. I had their books in bins back there in their bunkhouse. And it wasn't a complete perfect, like...
We had to fight for it a few mornings. But I think it did. It ultimately really did work. They settled into that pattern. And just, I'm not judging here. We've shown our kids plenty of TV over the course of the years, but why should they be watching a cartoon in the morning at the campground? They could be reading a book.
Yeah, so I made 2 bins. I made a bin of like activity books, like those mazes and connect the dots. So I figured, look, if they are feeling like they can't focus and read in the morning, at least there's something they can do. And then I made a bin of their leveled books that are on their independent reading level from the end of the school year. So I did those 2 bins and they were up on the shelf in between the 2 bunks. And they really did.
They started to wake up, pull out a book. And the beauty about it is like, we're talking about 6:30 in the morning, right? I mean, yes, 8 o'clock, six, game seven, on, activities. Yeah. So they can't really go out and run around, scream and ride their bikes pretty at 6:30 in the morning. So it's a perfect time for reading time. And Stephanie's exactly right. At 8:40, they can be getting those last few seconds in on their bikes. So we just found that like doing the reading time when they first wake up is terrific.
Okay, so lots of those little bits and pieces about things that we were sort of reflecting on and trying and doing and succeeding or failing at during this trip. But now we sort of wanted to each offer our one, like, walk away. Right? So you want to go first?
My big takeaway from this trip is I'm totally settled on getting a toy hauler. We love to all have bikes with us. We actually really want to get the kids little kayaks. I even want a canoe. That's what we want to do when we go RVing, is that we want to have the outdoor adventures and we want to have some of those gear and some of those toys. For me, it's not motorcycles. It's not ATVs. It's those types of things. I don't want to buy expensive racks. And I'm really sick of, you know, carting the kayaks in and out, packing the bikes. A toy hauler really feels perfect for us. And I think we both agree that that's the direction we're going in for our next RV.
All right. So my takeaway is that after all of our big long trips, I think I finally can say for absolute certain that I get travel burnout at about 15 or 16 days. And what I mean by travel burnout is not that I don't want to be in the RV anymore, because I'm actually okay with being in the RV. It's that like daily planned activities of exploring a new place, so that every single day it's like, all right, get up. And what hike are we going to do? Or what kayaking are we going to do? Or what this, like, what are we going to do today? Like, feeling like you're trying to, you know, get as much in as possible. And I really hit my mode of sort of taking in new things at about that time. And at that point, I also, as a human being, I really thrive on like simple daily routines. Like, so when I was a teacher for 15 years, you know, morning work and this class and that class. Like, I like that. I like routine. So
I think what exacerbates that is that we did 6 campgrounds in 3 weeks, right? So we're constantly somewhere new and, you know, I'm wanting to explore. And there's a part of you that's wanting to see that area. So I think in the future, we might be looking at longer stops and fewer stops on our trips.
Yeah, I just really like to hit a point where I feel comfortable in a place. If I am still in the RV, I want to be able to say, not say, what are we going to do today? To be like,
that's why you like beach camping best. Yeah. Because when we do the beach camping trips, it really is about waking up, going to the beach, enjoying the beach, and getting into a pattern of relaxation and swimming and all of that stuff. Where we're in a mountains environment, it's more about hiking every day or doing this every day. So I feel you on that one. And I think we will adjust our travel style a little bit in the future.
All right. Yeah, that's me. I mean, I just think it's certain it's not going to change. I think that's got to change.
I want to start doing like, 7-day stops. You know, we do occasionally do too many 3-4-day stops. And it's a lot of packing and unpacking and wanting to explore a new area. You know, I think we want to slow down a little bit in the future. Let me say that now.
Well, on all those stops, we did have another sort of favorite piece of gear that emerged. Really, we've talked about your favorites, we've talked about my favorites, but now we're going to talk about a kid favorite. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We hope you enjoyed our feature topic, summer road trip wrap-up. Now it is time for a product review that was a kid favorite on this trip, and this segment is sponsored by Cabela's.
And Cabela's is passionate about supporting families in their outdoor activities. They have everything you need to camp and start making memories that will be treasured for generations. Check out Camp Cabela's website for fun articles and tips and tricks for getting your families into the great outdoors. Camp Cabela's, it's in your nature.
And some of those fun articles are by us, right? We have one up there now, and we're going to have some more coming up right soon.
We do.
Now, this slackline was an absolute sensation with the kids. And I honestly can't wait to use it again. And it was not just a sensation with the kids. All the adults tried it and loved it too. You were having fun on it. And then I was taking pictures. And at the end, I got to try it. And everyone really had fun.
Yeah. So one of the things that I wanted to do this year, and again, referencing back to the spring resolutions, I had talked about like more downtime. And I think that just came up again. Like, we go, go, go as a family. And sometimes I feel like nobody in our family knows how to, like, take a deep breath and relax. And I talked about that with reading. Like, open a book and read. Like, everybody take a deep breath. But one of the things that I thought might help with that was to our boys are extremely active. All right. So they're not the kinds of kids that build Legos. Really, it's never been something that's grabbed them. You know, yes, they'll play board games, but they really love to be active and do things. So I thought that a slack line might be a hit, because if you do a slack line, and for those of you that aren't familiar with what it is, it's basically like a mesh, a piece of webbing, and it goes, you can tie it around two trees, two posts, whatever. And then people treat it like a wobbly balance beam. Like, you try to walk from one end of it to another.
Like a tightrope to some degree.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. So I thought our boys really love, like, in our backyard, the trampoline has been an answer to a lot of that energy, because it just gives them that default, like, you're like feeling hyper, go jump on the trampoline. And I thought, I need that version at the campground.
Yeah. And it was very easy to set up. It was very sturdy. You got to get it nice and tight, particularly if adults are going to be hopping on it and using it too. And I found it to be very safe, frankly, as well, because it only needs to be 8 inches above the ground.
Right. You can put it very low to the ground.
So if somebody falls off it, they're not falling far at all. I mean, if you want to get more adventurous, you can. I don't know what they recommend, but we had it really low to the ground. So we had kids from Geez, from like, I mean, Wesley was doing it while we were holding his hand.
I'm saying 3 to 15.
Yeah, I mean, three with an adult standing right there holding him, but right up to 15. And really, everyone had fun. So that's kind of a cool thing about it, is that the teenagers loved it. The younger kids loved it. Wes loved it with our supervision.
All right. So this is the Slackers 50-foot slackline set. 50 feet of 2-inch webbing. So that's 2 inches across. Like, that tightrope is like 2 inches across. But think about 50 feet. It's really long. So that's perfect because, you know, your campground might not have those two trees that are super close together. You can stretch this for really far.
Yeah, we did it really between two trees that were close together first. And then everybody's like, okay, let's push it a little bit. And we found two trees that were further apart. And, you know, by the way, this is a great backyard thing as well. This is a great backyard thing that you can then throw in the little bag that it comes in, throw it in the camper, and use it at the campground as well.
And now it also comes, this set, this 50-foot slackline set, Slackers, it comes with a 1-inch webbing teaching line, okay? So then you also can put the same line above the kids' heads so that they can kind of hold on to it and, like, let go and then grab it so they can actually make
progress.
Now, we
didn't actually even use that.
The kids convinced me to put it up. Remember, like, they were like, we want the teaching line up. And I was like, no. And then I finally put it up. And all they were doing was, like, jumping on it.
That's right. We did put it up. And it just ended up being like they were bouncing on it. So we took it off. It was kind of more fun without it. But it's there as an option.
Yeah. This kept kids. There was a line of kids at the slack line.
For several hours.
For hours.
Yeah.
Okay. Kids will just keep doing it. And they would ask me to set it up. Now, what I would like to have done, if we were at a more sort of remote campground with just our kids, I would keep it set up because the whole idea is that they would just wander over, and I know our boys would do it. They would just go over, they'd get on it. But because we were camping with other people and there were so many other kids around, we didn't feel like safe leaving it set up because we felt like, well, there could be another kid that just wanders over. And, you know, that's like,
we didn't want anyone else's kids hopping up on it.
Yeah. So we had to take it down every time. So that was the only thing that kept our kids from being on it
every time.
But they would be. If it's up, they're on it.
We got to set it up in the backyard.
So it's $79.99. And
available at
Cabela's.com. Yeah. So I'll put the link to this product in the show notes. This is another product that in our talking with Cabela's about, you know, they were like, well, what are you guys looking for? This was at the top of my list. I said, this is on my shopping list. I plan on getting a slackline this year. They sent it to us.
Yeah, and
I
this
love it.
Was very sturdy. This was really well made.
This is heavy duty.
This is like military grade material.
I feel like this is going to last us like forever.
Yeah, this could
don't
be like a 20 year thing.
Yeah, like it'll just be like throughout the course of time as the boys are getting older.
It's heavy duty.
Yeah, so I really like this. I really recommend if you're looking for that, like, you know, cornhole, you know, like people set up these games at their campsite that keep kids engaged. If you have the more active child, you know, the kid that isn't so focused on a puzzle or a card game. If you have those busy, busy kids like we do, this might be the perfect product for you to put up at your campsite. So I really recommend it highly.
Yeah, it was a top pick out of the gear that we've been testing for Cabela's. Absolutely.
All right, link in the show notes, and we will be right back to wrap up the show.
Thank you so much for listening to episode number 99 of RV Family Travel Atlas. We thank you for every single download. We appreciate every single one. Thank you to our sponsors, to Cabela's, to Campers Inn, and to Progressive Insurance. Please don't forget that we are going to be at the New Jersey Festival of Ballooning this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And what were the times on that?
All right, 5 to 8 on Friday evening, 1 to 5 on Saturday, and 1 to 5 on Sunday. So we'll see you there. And hopefully we'll also see you when we do our very first Facebook Live chat ever over on the Go RVing Facebook page. All right. So that's August 2nd, 3:30 p.m. Central Time, folks. Don't miss it. Set a reminder in your phone.
Yeah. And we'll be taking questions live. It'll be fun. It'll be funny. It'll be interesting. It'll be quirky.
All right. We will either see you at the Bloom Festival or we'll see you on that Facebook chat. Either way,
we'll see you at the campground.
We'll see you at the campground. Bye-bye.